Welcome to The Practical Intuitive, where each Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, where host Robin Fritz explores mind, body, and spirit for the real world. Because we are all intuitives and healers, and we must all learn to love ourselves and live that love every day. Robin is a trained and certified intuitive and spiritual consultant and hypnotherapist with an international practice based in Seattle, Washington. As the practical intuitive, she covers personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice. It's all here. Readings, healings, and funny, warm, thought-provoking conversations. It's Robin Fritz, the practical intuitive, helping you mastermind body and spirit for the real world. No ifs, ands, buts, or BS ever.
Welcome to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz. We're live this afternoon in Seattle, Washington. And welcome. Today, we are going to be talking about animals as family members, but not gurus and teachers, and what we mean by that. And I am so thrilled to be joined by animal communicator and pet expert Tim Link, and I'll tell you more about him in a moment. But again, welcome everyone. I'm an intuitive and spiritual consultant and certified past life regression specialist. Wow, what does that mean? Well, it means that we're all working together and that to really make a contribution to the world. And my very strong belief, my actual knowledge, is that we are all intuitives and healers. We just need to learn how to tap those skills to get the self-confidence to use our intuition, because the truth is we're using our intuition and our healing abilities every day, all day long. So we might as well know what they're doing and how to work with them so that we can be our best selves. So every week on the show, we talk about different intuitive and healing subjects. And if you'd like to join in today to call in to talk with me and Tim about an animal, call 202-570-7057, and we'd be happy to chat with you. And if you're shy, you know, if you're not sure you want to be on the radio, go ahead and email me at robin@robinfritz.com. That's spelled robinfritz.com. Or tag me on Facebook at The Practical Intuitive. And let me know what you'd like to talk about, and I will bring it up in future shows. And trust me, people have done that, and that's great. I'm happy to do that. So as we get into the show today and welcoming my special guest, I first want to start with a guided meditation with the crystal Fallon. Fallon is a citrine Lemurian quartz. He's a rare power crystal. I know that's just like, wow, you've ever heard of that? Not really. There aren't too many of them out there. But as citrine Lemurian quartz, you can imagine Fallon as clear quartz most of the time with many facets in him. He was carved into a crystal ball about 15 years ago. And you could tap into his energy during the show based on how your intuition works, whether you see pictures, hear things, chatting with you, feel energy, or simply know that you're connected to that energy. So sit back, take it all in, and join us. So if you take your attention to the top of your head, just imagine that we're connecting mind, body, and spirit more tightly together, helping you get grounded and balanced in this space with us, and taking it back out into the world. So as you breathe down your body from the top of your head to your feet, just imagine that energy just clearing you out, getting you ready to be with us today and helping you get more grounded and balanced in the world, something we all need all the time. So starting at your head, breathe down your face, your shoulders, your chest, your hips, your knees, and your feet. The top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Well, this is very rapid clearing, so just imagine this whoosh of energy rushing through your body. And now as you Imagine that energy at the bottom of your feet. Imagine Fallon as this rotating gold light outside your body. And as that light moves up outside your body, just imagine it filling you with healthy, filling you up with healthy, positive energy. Starting at your feet, past your knees, your hips, your chest, your shoulders, your face, your third eye, and your crown chakra, which is very often wide open during this time with Fallon. And if you're a person whose intuition runs towards knowing, you're just going to know you're connected with them. And that's one of the things that a lot of people struggle with, their intuition, especially their knowing abilities, in our daily lives with our animal families. So today is a very special day for me because I love shows about animals and our animal families. I am an animal communicator myself. But I think what the world is working towards these days is what I call learning up with our animal families. There used to be a time when we came together with animals for mutual survival. I mean, just to survive in the world, just to have food to eat and teaming up to do that. And you still see animals, especially dogs, out there guiding and guarding herds and all of those kinds of things that support us in our daily life. But for most of us these days, our animals are family members, and that's really learning up from ancient necessity to what I call heart and soul growth. Learning to relate with our animals as equals in the family. As we learn from them, they learn from us, and that's what families are all about, right? Learning and growing together. But it's also very practical necessity because animals are animals. Dogs have particular needs that are different from cat needs and horses and so on. And that's one thing I really work hard at helping people understand in my animal communication practice, whether it's behavior, whether it's assisting animals and their families through the dying process. It's the practicalities of living with animals, just the day-to-day life with them. So with that, I would like to welcome Tim Link to my show today. Tim, I met some years ago when he interviewed me on his radio show, but Tim is the author of two really great books out there. Wagging Tails was his first book with stories of his animal communication sessions. Tim is not just an animal communicator and a pet expert, but a Reiki energy healer, so he knows about intuition and healing. And Tim's most recent book, Talking with Dogs and Cats, Joining the Conversation to Improve Behavior and Bond with Your Animals. A man after my own heart, the practical relationships with our animal families. So with that, Tim, welcome. Thank you for joining me today.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure being on the show.
No, it's so awesome to have you here, and I hope we can have you back many times in the future. But Tim, tell us about your practice. Tell us what you like to do with animals. I know, communicate, healing. Tell us about your life, Tim, all in like 2 minutes.
There you go. Well, you know, as you can appreciate it, it's kind of hard to consolidate into one area.
Exactly.
But I tell people that, you know, if there's a critter involved, I'm probably involved in it in some fashion. That's the best way I can put it.
Awesome.
The main part of the business is Wagging Tails, T-A-L-E-S. And I focus on three parts of animal communication, the first part being behavior changes or shifts within an animal. This could be due to physical changes that are going on with the animal, emotional changes, or behavioral changes.
Right.
So the second part focuses mostly on the grief counseling and how do you help your animal out the best, what are their wishes when they are going through that transition process, and then what happens afterwards, what happens to your animals after they've passed, and how do you best deal with that? How can you go through your proper grieving process to heal and to realize your animals are always going to be with you? And the third part is probably what I'm best known for is my work with lost animals, missing animals. I work with people and institutions from around the world whenever an animal in their care or one of their heart companions goes missing, I'll get contacted, and hopefully we can locate where the animal is, and if it's meant for them to come back to the home or the institution, then we can get them back and everybody's happy again. So that's really the thrust of the business aspect of it. But as you had mentioned, you know, I'm a writer, so I've published a couple
right.
books. I write for about a dozen different animal magazines. I write for about another half dozen non-animal magazines about animals. And then I host the Animal Rights Show, WRITES, show on Pet Life Radio and iHeartRadio.
Right.
Yeah, so it keeps me pretty busy. Anything I can do to help the animals out and build that relationship and that awareness and that partnership between humans and animals in their world, that's
yeah.
what I'm there for.
And that is so awesome. And the world is much better because you're out there working in it. So we all appreciate you being there. And, you know, behavior shifts, grief counseling, and lost and missing animals, all really important topics and all difficult in their own. And I work in those areas, too. And, you know, what interests me, Tim, is that so many animal communicators will not touch a lost or missing animal case. And I've heard things like, oh, I'll get all upset. I'll get all upset, you know. And I'm like, yeah, well, the people are upset too, and so is the animal. Somebody's got to be able to help them. So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's one of those situations where, you know, it's a very emotional situation. You've got
it
the
is.
Emotions of the human that you're working with or the people that you're working with to try to locate the animal and bring them back safely. You've got the emotions of the animal that you're dealing with. And then you have to keep your emotions in check. You know, you have to keep
right.
Your intuition going and your logic going throughout the whole process. And, you know, in some cases it is we can locate them quickly and we can get them back, and that's fantastic. Others go on for a while. And some are just never meant to come back. And so I think
yeah.
from, you know, I work with a lot of animal communicators on lost animals, and I deal, you know, with, they refer a lot of their clients to me in that those situations. And I think it's just a matter of it is emotional and it is very time consuming. But it's something I feel a great reward in helping out. It's something I've had a great deal of success with. So it's sort of, you know, I'll do just about anything to help an animal out and help people out. But that's probably, as I mentioned, the thing I'm best known for.
Yeah. Hang on. We're going to break. We'll be right back with Tim Link on animal communication and our animals as family members.
Conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for. That new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Shopping for yourself or loved ones? Check out the best rock shop around, Earthlight Rocks and Gems in Kirkland, Washington. Whether you're looking for metaphysical support or just love nature's art, Earthlight has it all. Raw rocks, crystals, tumbled stones of all kinds, carvings, cabs, fossils, tumblers, rare minerals in all price ranges, and books. They also have jewelry, including custom pieces and beads to make your own. Open 7 days a week, the Earthlight store has been around since 1988 and is run by Kim and Todd Valines. Find them online at earthlightgems.com, at Etsy at earthlightgems.etsy.com, or on Facebook at Earthlight Rocks and Gems. Have a question? Email Kim at the store, earthlightgems.com. And just for OM Times listeners, receive 10% off orders over $50 at their Etsy account with coupon code EarthlightGems. That's earthlightgems.etsy.com or the store at earthlightgems.com.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, you know, your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at EmbraceRefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and we are chatting with Tim Link, animal communicator and pet expert. And Tim's talked about how his main focus in his work is behavior, grief counseling, and lost and missing animals. So one quick thing about the lost and missing animals, Tim. The thing that I've noticed in working with them and with other animal communicators is it takes, you have to be really well grounded and balanced. You have to be able to cut away from the panic and the fear of both the animal and the people and just focus in very calmly and quietly and get to the heart of the matter. And I don't know, it's not just animal communicators. There are some people that it's really hard for, and I guess maybe that's why some of the animal communicators don't want to do lost animals. What do you think?
Yeah,
what are you noticing?
Well, I notice, yeah, I agree with that. You know, it's something you want to, as an animal communicator, it's a service that you want to offer. You want to help out. You want to have, you know, it's like any other business, I will say, that you have to have a lot of offerings because you want to cater to a large audience. You want to help as many animals out as you possibly can.
Right.
But from the lost animal aspect, the amount of time that goes into it, because basically, you know, to walk you through a brief scenario here is a client will contact you. You get some basic information, the photo of the animal, the name, the address, when the animal went missing, some real basic
right.
information. And then you communicate with the animal and you try to glean as much information as you can from that animal. And then you do what I do is map dowsing. So I use a pendulum and multiple maps to try to narrow down where the energy field is strongest for that particular animal. And then you take that information, you can compare the notes to see if there's something that you can identify an area within the area on the map to give them guidance to where they could go search and what to look for in a given radius or an exact location or, you know, within a block or so of,
right.
of where the energy is. So if you just go through that process alone, it's very time consuming. And then you have the, you know, the questions afterwards and the follow-ups afterwards and the multiple connections in a very, very stressful situation, because I can't imagine too many other situations when you're dealing with your you know, furry, feathered, fin friends that can be more stressful because you feel, as a human companion, you feel sort of out of control and you're looking for guidance and help and you want your animal back. And that can be very stressful. And some communicators and people in general just don't want to deal with that. They want to focus on other areas, and that's fine. That's where
yeah.
I come into play, and that's where I can help because it's something that I continue to do well and, as I mentioned, have quite a bit of success with.
Yes, and what's cool about that, you know, and when I get those calls, you know, I'm trying to remember, we can there's sometimes we can trace them up to a certain point, you know, and then they have to get out there and continue to look. I always tell people, you know, great to call me. Yeah, great. I'll help you the best I can. And I also bring in a couple of other people to assist, because it's like that old story, which nobody but me seems to remember, the blind men in a room with an elephant, and one's holding the trunk and one's holding a leg and one's holding the tail, and they've all got a piece of the elephant, but not the whole elephant. So it takes a group to put the whole part together. It also takes some of the pressure off, but you know, sometimes, as you said, sometimes the animals aren't coming back, and that's where, you know, we need to learn to help our clients, you know, figure that out, you know, and come to grips with that for whatever reason. But the other thing that, you know, when I first started working with lost animals, which a lot of people don't realize, is that we as a communicators are trying to see through the animal's eyes. And we have to remember, you know, the size of the animal involved. And I remember years ago, before I was actually charging for animal communication, I was looking for a lost dog, and I saw like a big creek and like a round play field and grass and trees. And I saw this whole scene, and the dog came right back. We found the dog and it came back. And when I actually went to that house a year or so later, it was a neighbor's yard. Everything that I saw was a neighbor's backyard. But I had not realized it, because that was like one of my first times of looking for a lost animal, that I needed to translate what I was seeing from the animal's eyes to what a human would be looking at. So to the animal, it was a big park. But to me, it was the backyard of the neighbor's house.
And yeah, you have to go inside their bodies. You have to see things from their standpoint.
Exactly.
And as you mentioned, you know, a Chihuahua is going to see things much differently than a Great Dane will. And you know,
yeah, that was my eye opener. It was a good example too for me to learn from, because we got the dog back right away, and it was only later that I went, "Oh, look at that, will you? And that's a really good lesson. Not one you want to learn while the animal is still lost, but." There you go. So, yes, that's a tough issue. And I've had families tell me, this is my family member, and I insist this dog or cat come home. It's kind of hard sometimes when you go, well, you know what? They've got something else in mind.
Well, and
that's trying to help people balance that. What is their family ending and why?
Exactly. You know, obviously, when an animal goes missing, there are reasons they can't come back, such as they get into traumatic situations. They do get into encounters with other animals, pedestrians, people, cars, things of this sort. But there are also those situations where, you know, that animal's purpose and time has been fulfilled with you or your family. And where the situation perhaps is not suitable for them to be able to fulfill their real purpose and mission for being here. So they choose to move on. And that's tough. That's tough for a human to realize, you know, why in the world would this cat want to leave? You know, they get 3 squares a day and a warm bed and everything it could ask for. But, you know, my firm belief is we're animals, just like humans, we're all here for a purpose. And we're here to try to identify that purpose and fulfill that purpose every day. And if the animal just feels that they cannot fulfill that purpose there, then they will move on.
And, you reminded me years ago of an animal that showed up with some people that lived near a friend. And they adopted the dog. They took it in, and they couldn't find the owner. And at some point, the people were losing their newborn son to heart disease. They knew it was happening before the child was born. And it was extraordinary for me, because this dog was, you know, I was talking with the dog, and the dog said that's why he came to this family, to support them. That was his next stop from his previous family, to support them through this process. And during the conversation, the souls of the parents showed up to thank him. It was just very emotional. And what was interesting after that was, after the child died, the the dog decided that it had fulfilled his purpose and he could die now. And I'm like, wait, stop. Let's talk about that. And, you know, we helped the dog realize that his family cherished him and he could retire from that job. And by that time, the dog was pretty old. He could retire from that dog and just live a happy life as a retired dog and have fun and play. And the dog was like, really? And we was like, yes, do that. And so that's what he chose to do, to stay and play. So sometimes we just have to dig a little bit deeper into what's happening in that particular case.
Exactly. So, you know, and that's the thing I tell people. Every case is unique. You know, I've been doing this for well over a decade now, and I've worked with, you know, domestic animals, dogs, cats, horses, birds, but also, you know, aquatic animals and farm animals and animals in zoos that have gone missing, stolen animals. Every single one of them is unique. So you can't simply say, you know, a dog is here for just that unconditional love and that purpose.
Exactly.
Each one of them has their own unique purpose and reason for being here. So you can't, and when you're dealing with lost animals, you can't just simply say, okay, well, you know, dogs like big parks, so let's look at, you know, every park out there. No, it's not.
Yeah.
Your dog, if it runs away, may choose to go to a nearby park. My dog may choose to avoid all parks because it doesn't like, you know, the dogs that are there or the people that are there. So you really have to tune into the animal and get as much information as you can.
And it's wonderful that you are out there, that so many of us are out there, you know, using our intuition and our healing skills to really help these people come together. So this morning, I did Facebook Live on animals as family members, not as teachers or gurus, as a prelude to the show today. And, you know, I'd like to talk to you about your ideas and, you know, because here's the thing, what I've noticed with people. Oh, we're going to a break. We'll be right back. Hang on, Tim.
Conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14.
31? I mean 13?
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted. He realized he forgot his homework. I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz. We are live in Seattle, Washington with animal communicator and pet expert Tim Link. And if you'd like to share your thoughts about your animal family or get some quick insight on an animal, please call in to 202-570-7057. Happy to take your calls. So, Tim, it's 2018, and it's been 20 years since I started this latest journey with animals, and I was just reflecting back on that. In October of 1998, I walked through the door of a house about 3 hours south of Seattle, where I'd already agreed to buy a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel puppy. And as I walked through the door, I saw two adult dogs and this puppy bouncing behind him, trying to see over the adult dogs. And as our eyes met, I heard the voice go, "Oh, it's you." And I thought, well, that was weird. What was that all about? I had no idea about animal communication. In fact, about a year or so later, when a friend said to me about animal communication, I looked at her and I said, okay, just stop right there. And yet I brought this dog home, and I remembered that years ago when my English Cocker Spaniel and I were playing, I threw the ball and I asked her to fetch the ball, and she would never fetch. She'd just go chase the ball, and she'd look at me. And she came and she sat in my lap, and I don't know where this came from, Tim, but as she's sitting there, I said, "I love you, Maggie. If you ever decide to come back to me, please learn how to fetch." You know, it was a silly thing. So the next morning with this Cavalier puppy, I threw the ball. She ran down the room. She grabbed the ball, came back, dropped it in my lap, looked up at me, was like, "Gotcha." And it still took me 3 years to realize my English Cocker Spaniel was back in a new body. And that's been the history of my life with animals for the last 20 years. And there's a lot of things I've learned about animals, not just in my practice as an intuitive and a healer, but in my family relationships with them. And that's what I was talking about this morning. That's what I talk about in a lot of my writings, is creating families with animals. And I think where people like you and I come in these days, it's helping people develop that relationship with animals. It used to be we had to survive, and now we don't have to survive. Now we're creating families, and we're looking at each other as souls on a journey. And we're here to grow our souls. That's why we choose the bodies we choose. And it's helping people understand that that soul chose an animal body because it thought that body was the best body it could use for the job that it chose, just like we chose human bodies for that purpose. And when we come together as families, we're there supporting each other, learning to grow our souls together in a family, and learning from each other, you know, watching how they grow, watching how we go. But the problem that I see out there in the world is that too many people put their own spiritual development off on their animals. So they're teachers and gurus and our healers, and this is my teacher and this is my healer, and they're forgetting that animals have their own soul path. We have our own soul path. We can walk it together as family members, but we're still walking it on our own. And it's almost like they're putting their spiritual, their emotional development onto their animal families, and I'm working to kind of pull that back a little bit so that people look at them as just as, you know, insecure and frail as we are, that they're just in those bodies growing their souls. So, okay, I'm going to put you on the spot. How do you think about that?
You know, no, I would agree with that. You know, in my book, Talking with Dogs and Cats, I focused a lot on, you know, the first part of the book deals with animal communication sort of
right.
One. And we all have that intuitive gift, that ability to be able to communicate and connect with everything around us, especially our animals. And the latter part of the book deals with mostly the things that we deal with every day as animal communicators. You know, why is the cat missing the litter box? Why is my dog always bark at the door? These type of things. But the key thing I focus on in the book deals with how you can communicate and build that bond with your animal and have a
right.
Good conversation with them. So this goes far beyond, you know, our training techniques that we teach our dogs and our cats, which are very, very important. You know, our set stays, leave it, you know, knowing what to do, when to do it, these type of things. But what I'm really talking about is communicating, verbalizing and visualizing what you're wanting from them, and then in return receiving back from them what they need from you. So it really does become a relationship. It becomes a family connection, a heart connection, where you're living harmoniously because you honor and respect your animal and what their path is and what their needs are, and in return they'll do the same. So I do believe that, yeah, we all have a purpose, and as you said, you know, we select a body, a host, to try to fulfill that purpose. And the only difference, I think, between us humans and animals is that our animals select their bodies, they determine their purpose, and they work every single day to fulfill that purpose to the best of their abilities. They stay true to it. Us humans, we tend to select a body and spend most of our lives trying to figure out why in the heck we're here.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, and thousands of dollars in therapy to try to figure out, okay, what is this all there is to life? And I think in reality, we just have to stop. We have to breathe. We can use our animals as guidance on how they live their lives and try to determine what our purpose is. And then whatever that purpose is, it doesn't have to be this grandiose purpose. It can be very simple. But whatever that purpose
That's right.
is, identify what it is and try to fulfill it every day.
And I think people are coming to that now. You know, Seattle, where I live, there are more dogs than children. And you see them outside all the time, and it drives me crazy in my neighborhood because I live at the beach, so it's a beach community, and people come here to walk their dogs. And I'll sit on my deck in the summertime, and I'll watch people walk down the street with their dogs, and they've got their earphones on, and their dog stops to sniff a flower, and they're, like, continuing to walk. There's mm-hmm. Come on, connect there with your aunt. I have seen the insides of more flowers in the past 20 years. Stopping to see what my dogs are checking out, right? You know, oh. And it's a good lesson for us in, you know, just stopping to connect with nature. But also recognizing that, yeah, they're family members, but they're also a dog, they're also a cat, and they have species requirements. And we need to respect and honor those. And a lot of people take it out and are just kind of trying to connect with the soul and not paying attention to what that body needs, whatever it needs.
Exactly.
In any particular situation.
Yeah, it is a relationship. I mean, obviously, at the very ground level, we all have basic needs. And sometimes our needs with our animal companions are in alignment. You know, we need shelter, we need love, we need food, we need water.
Exactly.
These type of things. But then it goes on beyond that to the actual species. The human species will need certain needs that perhaps the animals won't need, and vice versa. And then you go to what the third level, which is more of the, you know, the spiritual level, the purpose level. Why are we here? And though there's a reason that animal came into your life, it may not be just to pull you through a bad relationship or get you through a hard time or whatever. It may be that, but it may not be that. It may be to get you in alignment with yourself, to really realize you had to go through this struggle in order to identify who you really are and what your purpose is. So there are multiple layers to it, and I would agree with you wholeheartedly. It's one of my I don't know if you agree with this or not, Robin, but as we get more, I won't say older, but as we mature as humans, we find more pet peeves in life. At least in my case, I find that to be true. And one of the biggest pet peeves is, yes, when you're out walking your dog, for instance, and you're texting, or you're paying, you know, you're listening, you know, listening to music or doing something other than spending that quality time with your animal to find out why are they so interested in that particular flower. Is there a reason for me to look at that flower? Is there something that they're trying to get my attention to say, hey, you know, bozo, pay attention to me and what I'm doing here, because there's some good stuff going on. And
that's
so
right.
Put the cell phones down and focus on time with your animal. Because really, for a lot of people, you don't get that one-on-one time. You know, you walk the dog in the morning, you go to work, you come home, you walk the dog again, and maybe you do it one more time before you go to bed if you're lucky. And that's about it. And if
it's
your animal
a choice.
Has to tell you, yeah, they're going to get your attention one way or another. And If you're not paying attention to them, well, guess what? That's when they start to have some behavioral dis-ease within themselves. And
exactly.
Yeah, that's when you start to have some problems.
Not paying attention to what they need as individuals. I know, I don't know if you've experienced it or not, but my animals keep reincarnating. And they were reincarnating before I knew that reincarnation was even a possibility. But the interesting thing I've noticed with my most recent animals, and they're both young, you know, so I'm looking at them and remembering who they were previously. But I think a good thing for people to remember is, like, why are they reincarnating with us? I mean, we don't always have to know that they are. But with my dog in particular, he announced himself in January of 2015, but it was in May when he was finally conceived that I realized he was not just my dog who had just died, but he was coming back with his memories intact. And I was like freaked out because we had had a very traumatic year. We were both badly injured in a terrible accident. And I was afraid he was going to come back with PTSD, to be honest. And he was very smart about it. And I said, wait, why are you doing this? Why are you coming back? Are you sure that's what you want to do? And he said to me, he said, well, he goes, we weren't done with each other. I died too soon, even though he was almost 13, but he died as a result of the accident. But he said, I have work to do in the world, and I need to do it with you. And then he added something that I could share with you, Tim. He goes, and if I came back as a human, you'd be dead before I was old enough to do my job.
Nice.
I'm like, thank you, honey. I do know how old I am.
Very funny. Yeah, you know, the whole thing about reincarnation is, you know, it goes back to an animal staying true to who they really are and finding their purpose and trying to fulfill it every day. And when they fulfill that purpose, they will leave. They will either leave you and go on, try to fulfill that purpose with another
right.
person, or if that body's no longer supporting them, they'll leave that body and come back around to try to fulfill that purpose in a different host, in a different body.
Yeah. Oops, hang on for a minute.
There's multiple reasons behind that.
Yep, there are.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
You're not wired to have a response to this sound. You're neutral to it, and you can hear it repeatedly without feeling anything. But when we introduce a new stimulus, save the food, we've achieved pulling a natural or inborn response from you. Save the food. Because 40% of all food in the US never gets eaten. Save the food. Cook it, store it, share it. Just don't waste it. For tips and recipes, visit SaveTheFood.com. Brought to you by NRDC and the Ad Council.
Well, Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and we're chatting with Tim Link, animal communicator and pet expert. And we were just chatting about reincarnation, and we're getting ready to really wrap it up for the day. That hour went really fast. But Tim, there's one thing I want people to think about when they're talking about their animals coming back, like my animals have come back. And that is, ask them what they're doing, you know, and I tell people, don't ask them to come back, because they may do it just to please you, and that may not be what their soul purpose is. That may not be what they need to do next to grow their souls. So if people call me up and say, you know, help me get my animal to come back, I'm like, no, not really. Let's look at it from a different aspect. Ask your animal what it needs to do in its next soul experience, because it might not need to be with you. Just like those when they finish their jobs with us and we finish ours, even while we're still in bodies. But the other thing that people need to remember is that when we welcome these guys back, we're contributing to their soul growth, and sometimes we're getting some of our own, and I've sure experienced that with Ollie. It's like, my God, I thought I was the greatest person in the universe, and I found out, no, I was just getting my own way all the time. That's not happening anymore. So I'm learning to grow up a little bit here, too, on my own. So it shows that we never stop learning with ourselves and our animals if we're really growing our souls. So, Tim, what would you say to people about, you know, this is a huge subject. I mean, there you could pull out any number of one things, but in terms of your experience communicating with animals, what would you say to people to look for in their companions?
Well, I think that, you know, there's two aspects of the way I look at this. There's sort of the scientific way and the intuitive way. And from a pure scientific standpoint, you'd say, okay, a particular dog. You want a dog that meets the needs of you and your family. So,
exactly.
You know, you want to make sure that it meets, you know, if you're home a lot or if you're on the busy a lot, you want a dog that can meet those certain needs. So you take that little bit, maybe that's 10% of the equation, you put that to the side. Then you go with your intuition, that heart connection you have. And I'm a firm believer that animals find us. They find us in some fashion. Whether it's showing up at a client's house and all of a sudden they've got a litter of dogs there, or the cat shows up at the doorstep, or you get a call and come to find out someone has a horse that they need to find a stable for, and you own a farm. So there's reasons, and a lot of times if you just let your heart open and open to receive the right and perfect animal that you can have a great relationship with, it will flow. It will happen. So I think that's sort of the other 90% of the equation, knowing that you just put it out there and it's going to come back around to you, and it's going to probably show up when you least expect it. You know, if you think you're going to want a King Charles and you walk into a rescue and all of a sudden there is a boxer, and that boxer has attached itself to you and is talking to you perhaps, or has that heart connection with you, well, that's probably a lesson you're going to have to learn, and an animal that's going to be part of your life.
There you go. So you do a lot of lost animal work. You do a lot of behavior work. You do what else? Grief counseling. Grief counseling. That's, we can talk, we'll have to come back and talk about grief counseling in another show, because that's a huge topic.
Yeah.
But as far as behavior is concerned with animals, is there like one or two tips you can give people in working with their animals and their behavior?
Yeah, I think you have to realize from a behavior, if there's a behavior shift with your animal, it's, as I mentioned at the top of the hour, it's either a physical, emotional, or mental thing going on.
Right.
So a good communicator, good intuitive can tune into perhaps a particular issue or particular area. As a Reiki master, I can tune in and do an energy scan to determine whether there's some blockages in the chakras and areas
right.
that you should look for. And thus, then you can take that information to your veterinarian for guidance and hopefully to solve the physical problem. But then you've also got that emotional and that mental problem. And emotional challenges could be that there's a shift in the routine. Someone who's lived in the house no longer lives there. Nobody's bothered to explain that to the animal. You brought home a new cat for your cat, a companion for your cat, assuming that they'll want a new buddy when they actually don't want a new buddy. So
exactly.
So there's those shifts and changes that affect them from an emotional standpoint. And then there's the mental aspect of it. You know, if they're constantly in a situation where there's a lot of dis-ease within their human companion, within the household, within the family unit, and that dis-ease does not get cleared and get to a positive energy state, well, animals have a great ability to deflect negative energy. But if it continues on, then they absorb it, and it starts impacting them mentally and physically as well. So you got to keep yourself clean, you know, keep yourself in a positive state of mind, keep the family unit in a positive state of mind. That will keep your animals in a positive state as well.
Yeah, it helps, right? I do. Sometimes I have people come where the family just has to break up. And they come because they already knew that, right?
Yeah.
Those are hard.
Yeah, helping. They are. I mean, how do you tell someone that what you're doing is impacting their animal physically or emotionally or mentally? You know, some people are aware that maybe they're in a bad state and that can have a negative impact or negative energy on their animal. But sometimes some of the things that you're doing is causing your animal distress and disease.
Exactly. And that's kind of how I got onto my Facebook thing this morning, talking about animals as family members and not as teachers and gurus. You know, I was at an event and there was this huge pressure on animals as teachers and healers. And they were taking it to a metaphysical level, but ignoring the physical level. And this woman was petting this cat, and she was just running her hands down her cat. Oh, this cat is my healer and my teacher. And this cat was about ready to have a heart attack. It was so stressed out. And the person conducting the workshop was ignoring it. I mean, you can't ignore the behavior of the animal that you're dealing with. So I had somebody kind of step in front of me, and I stepped over to the woman because I was just really pained about the poor cat. And I said to the woman, you know, instead of thinking of your animal as healing you and teaching you, why don't you think about the two of you as family members? Just, you know, both of you having your own issues and your own things and coming together as family. And she stopped and she looked at me, and just you could see the energy shift. Boom. It was just like, oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, she relaxed, the cat relaxed, and I don't know if that continued on beyond that. But I think that's one thing we can leave with today, is having people really try to understand what's going on in their animal family's heads, even if they can't maybe hear them exactly. But looking at what we can do to make our families function as easily and as well as possible, where everybody's getting supported.
Absolutely, because it's a family situation. You know, you have to live a great life together. You have to bond. And so the best way to do that is really spend some time with your animal in the quiet and get to know them, and then build that relationship to the best of your ability. And
exactly.
You know, they can definitely be healers and teachers and all the above, just like you can heal and teach them. So the biggest part is the fact that you are in a relationship now.
That's right.
You have to communicate.
Let's have a real practical relationship.
That's right.
And then go from there.
Any relationship is communicating. So yeah.
Exactly. Tim, you're such an awesome person. You are a blessing to the world. Thank you so much for being here today. We are out of time, but I hope you'll come back again in the future. We have lots to talk about. But
absolutely.
Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate
it. Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Take care and goodbye. And so we're closing out the show today, reflecting on what a wonderful hour it was to share with Tim Link. You can find his books, Wagging Tails and Talking with Dogs and Cats, at Amazon or wherever else you buy a book. He's great. He's out there serving the world. And really found his purpose in life in supporting us and our animal families. So I always love talking with other animal communicators and healers, and I appreciate him being here on the show. So you can find me here every Monday at 2 Pacific time, 5 Eastern. I have a series of different guests coming up, different topics. We've talked about so many things over the last 6 months or so of the show. And I just want to thank everyone for being here today. If you would like to ask a question and you're shy and you don't want to go on the air, please email me at robin@robinfritz.com. That's RobinFritz.com. I offer personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life and between life regression. Talk about soul growth. That's amazing. Soul clearing, energy healing, spiritual awakenings, and spiritual journeys, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing abilities. So as we close out today, let's ground us back into our bodies. You had your chakras, your crown chakra wide open in connection with Fallon, the citrine Lemurian quartz. So cross your hands on your heart, and as you breathe into the palms of your hands, imagine that healthy energy going in there. Breathe into the palms, so feel that air, and then hold your palms out. Let that energy go out to the world, wherever it goes, maybe today to your animal families. And then take a deep breath, because you're bringing healing to yourself. Always, your intuition and your healing is supporting you first in your soul growth in the world. So hands on your heart and just breathe in that healthy energy. And then breathe into the palms of your hand. And then put your hands back on your heart, getting yourself grounded and balanced and ready to go out for the rest of your day. Thank you again for joining us. We'll see you next week. Take care.